Good evening.
Good evening.
Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 8 this evening. John chapter 8. Can any of you read the Bible upside down? I can't either, so I need to turn mine upside. That wouldn't work very well. It'd be for a short sermon. And we had a short sermon last Sunday night, and I don't think I can do that two nights in a row or two weeks in a row. Poor Colton. Poor Colton, he woke up pretty sore last Monday, I heard. And I feel bad that I tortured a young man like that, but I thank God for his willingness to do that. You guys might have thought, well, man, I can do that. It's pretty easy. No, you get up here in front of a group of people, your nerves get going, and your body really begins to shut down. And it didn't take long for Colton. But what a good young man. I appreciate that so much. Tonight we're going to talk about bridges. We're going to talk about bridges. And something that's very personal to me at this point in time of my life. Let's go ahead and read the book of John, chapter 8, verses number 1 through verse number 9. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought in him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. Let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Lord, we thank you for this night that you've given us. God, I want to thank you for the songs that we have sung today, especially this last song. Lord, it is going to be a tremendous day when we're able to see you face to face, to be able to look upon your glory as is described in your word. Lord, to be able to see the beauties of heaven that you have created, to be able to sing with a host of angels that are in your presence, to be able to glorify you. It's just what that verse says. What a glorious day that will be. God, I'm so glad that I'm going to be a part of that day. I'm so glad that the folks that are in here tonight and that are out watching our video right now are going to be a part of that day. God, there are some people who are going to miss out on that great and glorious day. Lord, that is a great reminder for us to be so very diligent in doing the task that you have called us to do. You've equipped every single one of us to give your word out. You've given us a mouth. You've given us eyes. You've given us ears to even listen. So God, I pray tonight you would burn within our hearts a desire to reach a world that so desperately needs you, so that they can sing with us someday, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Lord, speak to us as we go through your scriptures tonight. We thank you for your word, how you preserved it. We love you tonight because you have first loved us. We ask it in your name. Amen. As we began reading in the first part of John chapter number 8, we see Jesus is in the Mount of Olives. I want to describe to you what the Mount of Olives looks like because I'm the only one who's been there. And you guys can only really see through the words that I'm about to describe. And let me tell you this, it's something that's very magnificent. To be able to be on the top of the Mount of Olives and to be able to look over into the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus spent some time on the Mount of Olives. And as he's up there, he's able to overlook the Garden of Gethsemane. As you get down to the Garden of Gethsemane, you're obviously looking up at the Mount of Olives. You turn your head towards the east, you're looking towards up, you're looking towards Jerusalem. And what a magnificent sight that is. And as you go down, a lot of people don't realize what is about to take place. You're going to either drive over a bridge or walk over the bridge to get you to where you need to your destination. And this is where I get my text tonight, bridges. Bridges are important in our lives. Jesus here is about to descend from the Mount of Olives to go to the temple. He went to the temple for this very reason, because he had a desire to teach. Anybody that's called into the ministry, whether it's going to be a preacher, whether it's going to be a teacher, evangelist, or missionary, has a great desire to teach God's word. For this very reason, they want people to know how great God is. They want to see God for his glory, his magnificence, and they want that to get out. That's their message. And what a tremendous responsibility that is bestowed upon an individual. Now, as you begin to teach, there are some things that men must be cautious about. And it's something that I'll be honest with you, that I probably have become too comfortable at times, to where I begin to give my own opinions and to give my own thoughts. In reality, I'm supposed to stick to God's word, amen, and have those truths drawn out, not forcing my opinion and my thought upon you, but giving you the truth of God's word. And that's an area, I'll be honest with you, that I have failed. And I'm not the only one that's failed in those areas. Many men have done those things, because I believe we become too comfortable sometimes. And during those times of being comfortable, you tend to, instead of building bridges, you tend to destroy bridges. You begin to break those bridges down. In London, there is a bridge that everybody knows. London Bridge is falling down. The bridge that's there right now between the city of London and Southwark has been there since 1973 of March 17th. It's been there for 47 years now. That's not the original bridge. That bridge has been destroyed on many different occasions. The original bridge was destroyed by a major ice storm. And it brought that bridge down. It caused it to collapse. It deteriorated. If I understand my history correctly, I believe some of that original bridge is now in the state of Arizona. The city I cannot think off the top of my head. And if I did think of it, I would not be able to pronounce it. So I'm just letting you know it's in Arizona. I can pronounce that. And that bridge has been built up. It's been broken down. As you're in the ministry, your job is to be building bridges. Amen. Whether it's in your workforce, your job should be building bridges, bringing people closer together. There was a guy in our church who I believe demonstrated that in his life, and he lived to the age of 99. Had a tremendous influence on many of us. And one of the greatest gifts that he was bestowed upon from God was he was able to draw people closer to Christ. Why was that? Because he was building bridges. Well, how was he building bridges? He was letting people know how he loved them, how he accepted them for who they were, didn't pass judgment on him, on them. Well, at least not to our faces. We know Doc wasn't perfect. But he was a man who wanted to bring people closer to Christ. I heard a comment yesterday, and it was so true. I never thought about this. But we have a great privilege ourselves to be a person just like that, to be a bridge builder. What an opportunity to be able to follow in the footsteps of Doc Martin and to be able to build bridges to bring people closer to God, to be able to show God's great love and his great forgiveness and his mercy and his grace that he has bestowed upon us. And so Jesus here, he's taken advantage of the opportunity that his heavenly Father has given him to go into Jerusalem and to be able to speak in his name, to be able to proclaim his truth. Let me just say this, he didn't give his thoughts or his opinions, he spoke his Father's words. And what a great act to follow. And it says, verse number 3, it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when he had sat her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So what we know here, this particular woman at this particular point in time in her life wasn't a godly woman. She wasn't a woman that you would probably want to invite into your home as a guest because people knew who she was. And if you were to invite her into your home as a guest, you might be outcast from the citizens of that particular country that you're living in because they don't want to be associated with her. And if you associate yourself with her, then they would tend to write you off. But understand something. Jesus descended from the Mount of Olives. He crossed a bridge for a very specific reason. And I know it doesn't say this in the Bible that there's a bridge there, but I've been there. I know there's a bridge there now. However the bridge looked back then, there was something there for him to walk across. And so they brought her unto him. They brought her accusations before him because they were embarrassed of her way of living. They were embarrassed of how she portrayed herself. They were ashamed that she was probably even from their own country. And to the point to where it is, they wanted her to be stoned. Now, the ironic thing is, as you begin to look at Scripture, we're always, every single one of us, myself included, we're always so quick to point out somebody else's faults. And the reason why we're so quick to point out someone else's faults, because it takes their eyes off of us and what we've done wrong, and we focus our eyes on them, and then we begin to portray them as the bad individual. We've all been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that many times in my life. We do those things to justify our own sins and how we're living our lives. And that's what we do. So they had a perfect opportunity that was presented to them, even though their lifestyles probably weren't very good at that point in time. I don't know how they lived particularly. I don't know what they were involved in. I don't know if they had a problem with being thieves. I don't know if they had a problem with murder with these particular men that brought this woman forward. But they brought her forward so that they can look good in the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus here is going to be teaching these folks a tremendous lesson in life. And that lesson is building bridges instead of tearing down bridges. You might ask yourself, Chad, why are you talking about this tonight? I said earlier that I have probably many times in my life, as I preached these last 15, 20 years of my life, have brought in my own opinion. These last couple months has been very difficult and very hard on every single one of us here. Every single one that's out in their homes watching us this evening. If they're not watching us this evening, they'll probably watch us tomorrow when they get a better reception on their computer to where it's not buffering as much. And during those times, I have realized the things that I have said as instead of building a bridge to bring us closer to Christ, my very words have destroyed bridges. And that's not a very good feeling to live with. I wrestled with God with this until about 3:30 this morning, which is why if you came here this morning and you didn't see me here on time, I was dragging behind. You can say I was a little tired. And I did not take a nap during pastor's preaching this morning. I was very alert. And I thank God for that. And I begin to realize and begin to reflect on some of the things that I've said, because pastor has said on many different occasions, and even in the Proverbs that he has been given these last few months of his life, which have been very tremendous, there have been a few occasions where he has talked about our words and how we need to carefully choose our words, because words are hurtful. Words can be very damaging to people. And I know that from experience. I really do. It's not fun to be made fun of when you're going through school. It's not a fun feeling. I've been at the end of that, where people have made fun of me. And later on in life, I did the natural thing and made fun of other people. Well, if someone else can do it to me, then I can do it to them. And in the process, what am I doing? I'm not building a bridge. I'm tearing down a bridge. I'm not creating a relationship. I'm destroying a relationship. And God doesn't want us to be destroying relationships. What God wants from us is to be united, to be a complete bridge, to get closer to Him. And as these men, they come in and they ask Jesus, "Jesus, we should be stoning her because she was caught in the very act. We don't have no need for her. She's useless to us. She's a worthless woman. She's scum." I can just imagine these thoughts are probably there in her mind. But in the mind of Jesus, he's saying, "I need to build a bridge so that this woman can come to me and come to know me as her Lord and Savior in life. I know of her sins already. I know what she's already committed. But I'm willing to look past her sins and forgive her sins if she were to ask for forgiveness." Because he's wanting a bridge to be built. So as that bridge is being built, she's walking on that, getting closer to him. But along the way in life, as we're walking that bridge, it crumbles. It becomes tattered, just like the London Bridge. I believe it's probably maybe 6 or 7 times that thing has been destroyed and rebuilt. But the good thing about that bridge is the people saw that there was a need for that. The people of the city of London and the city of Southwark apparently wanted to have a relationship with one another. They saw a need to be around each other. And so they kept building that bridge, as that bridge through time of history would collapse and be deteriorated and couldn't be passed to where they wouldn't have fellowship. Jesus saw a woman who was in need of a Savior. Jesus saw a woman who was in need of forgiveness. Jesus saw a woman who man hated and didn't want to have anything to do with her. And Jesus does something in history that I've never seen any other king do. Remember, he is the king. It goes on here, it says in verse number 6, it says, This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. A king, he stoops down. It is you and I that should be bowing down before a king. But he stoops down. He gets on his knees. He's not bowing down to them. He's stooping down for one very good reason. He stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Meaning they're in the background, "Hey, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He knew they're there. He knew they're talking. He just goes about his business. They don't know what he's doing. It says, so they would continue to asking him, verse number 7. He lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Bridges are built for a reason, so that we could have access to our Heavenly Father. But it is you and I that break down those bridges. And the reason why we break down those bridges is because we're always coming at each other with accusations. We're always wanting to point our fingers at somebody else, but never taking responsibilities for what we have done in our lives. I've heard my father say on many different occasions, be a man, own up to your responsibilities. And that's such a true saying. That will make you a man when you own up to your responsibilities. There are so many teachable moments in that saying. And I learn from that quite often in my life. But it's not up to you and I to come at each other with accusations. One of the worst things that can happen in a church that destroys churches, and I'm saying this for a very good reason, because churches are destroyed by people sitting in the church pews gossiping about somebody else. And I'm guilty. I stand before you guilty. I have broken bridges instead of building bridges. I came here 5 years ago, back to my home church, and I said, I've broken bridges, and that's not me anymore. I want to build bridges. And in that process, not knowing that I continue to destroy bridges. And that's not how you and I are to act. That's not how you and I, as God's children, are to behave. There's no reason for you and I to congregate together and begin to bring up somebody's sin that's in their life. Well, Chad, that's very obvious. You know what? I understand that. But I got a closet full of skeletons that I have to deal with, that I'm responsible for. And I have no right bringing somebody else's sin and making accusations at them. But we're so guilty of those things, and we want to bring those forward because we want to portray ourselves as such great individuals and tear down somebody else. And as we begin to tear that individual down, they take such a spiritual beating in their life to where they might walk out of the church and never come back again. And we might say to ourselves, well, he just needs to get right with God. Or she needs to get right with God. How about this? How about we get right with God? How about we pull the beam out of our eye and stop making accusations towards other people? It's not our job to destroy people. It's not our job to destroy their very lives, but our job is to build them up. One of the things that I wish I was like, but I'm not like that because I'm not him. I wish I had the wisdom that our pastor has. He has that wisdom because he's old. I'm young. But he has a great way of handling people nowadays. And I sit back and I watch and I learn. Man, I need to handle this situation like this because I've seen him handle those things. And the reason why he does it the way he does is because he knows the importance of walking together on a bridge that'll get us closer to Jesus. Bridges are important. Yeah, we might have things in our lives that might let people know on the outside that we're not good to look at, we're not worthy of Jesus. But Jesus sees value in every single one of us. Jesus has a use for every single one of us that's in here today. He wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use you for his kingdom. And if Jesus sees fit to use you, then we have no need to argue with him and try to destroy an individual's life in the process. We need to be bridge builders. If it gets tore down, put on your boots, put on your hard hat, get your gloves out, and begin building those bridges once again. It's an ongoing process. Should it be? No, it really shouldn't be, but we make it that way. So he continues asking him, verse number 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." I don't see in Scripture where any individual, and by the way, there are a numerous amount of stones in Israel. They could pick up a stone at any given second at this point in time in their life and begin to cast it at her. But you don't see the individuals that Jesus is talking to begin to stoop down and begin to pick up stones and begin to cast it at her. By the way, I've been a victim of rocks thrown at me. They hurt. Can I say this? So do accusations. So do accusations when church members go to other church members and begin to talk about other church members. Those hurt. They're painful. I don't know why I wrestled with God last night about this. By the way, he won. He won at 3:30 this morning. He's able to let me go to rest. Verse number 8, as he said this, says, "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." The question is, what did Jesus write? What did he do those two times as he knelt down on the ground? Because people begin to be convicted, and they begin to walk away. Can anybody see what this says? Can you see it, Jeff? What's it say loudly?
I know.
You guys hear that? You say it with me? I know. Can you see this, Jeff?
Yes.
Can you say it loudly?
Your sins.
Say it with me. I know your sins. I believe Jesus stooped down on the ground and began to write the very sins that those people were involved in. See, we all have skeletons in our closets, but we always want to bring forth somebody else's problems to make ourselves look better. Jesus was about building bridges. He was about bringing people closer to him. I have learned a lot in these last few months, in these last years, to be honest with you. I have been that individual who has built bridges, but I've also been an individual that have destroyed bridges, and I've brought people down. On their way to glory, walking closer to Christ, and my very accusations, my very words that came out of my mouth took out some pavement of that bridge, and they can no longer keep walking. I'm going to give you one example, because it's an example that I'm never, ever able to forget. And I know that he has forgiven me. It's been years ago, and he probably doesn't even remember it. I can remember years ago, I didn't go to camp. I stayed back for some reason, probably because of my attitude, before the gym was built. So it's been years ago. It's when I was younger, had color in my hair. And I knew everybody was coming back. I come out here, and I'm playing basketball, and I was a man. I came in my shorts and tore off my shirt. I wanted people to see my physique. Well, what a joke that was. And I'll never forget, an individual comes up to me, gives me a hug. He says, "I wish you would have been at camp." People are on fire. People's lives are changed. And I said to that individual, I'd give him a week. You know what I did? I destroyed a bridge that God just built that week in an individual's life. And I thank God he never held any grudges towards me. Jeff was able to look beyond my faults and forgive me and do some repairs in that bridge and to walk forward. That's what it's about. It's about forgiving one another, realizing that we are in this job together. We're here to bring glory to God, not to ourselves, not to create a name for us while we're here on earth, but to make God's name famous, to make him famous in the households that he needs to be famous in, so that people can see how real he is. So when they look at us, they ought to see Christ in us, and not a group of people that can't stand to be around each other. I need you folks. And you might not realize this, but you need me too. Everybody needs a Chad in their life. Everybody needs a Charlie in their life. Everybody needs an Isaac in their life. Shelley. We all need a Shelley in our life. You know, Shelley and I have a special handshake. We do. What's that all about? It's an explosive friendship. And we need each other. Why? Because we have the same goal in mind, and that's walking that bridge to Jesus Christ until he comes and gets us for his glory. I'm going to do something tonight. And you don't have to do this if you don't want to. But I want to close the sermon out this way. I'm the start of the link that wants to build a bridge to Jesus Christ and who wants to lock arms with me tonight. The floor is yours.